Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Hi, this is so strange. I haven't spoken at church or youth before, so it's great. I'm normally getting prepared for the message, but that's nice. Nice to see everyone here. So for everyone who doesn't know me, my name's Abby, and I've been at LMC for almost 10 years now, which is crazy. It's an absolute blur, but I went to Oxley Christian College and we moved to this church when I was in year 8. And then once I graduated, I was asked to be a frontline leader, and that was such a blessing. I was so excited. Everyone at the end of the year always gets excited to see who's going to be asked to be a leader, and there's so much anticipation. And I haven't left. You haven't been able to get rid of me yet. So I'm still here and I'm still loving every moment of it. And as you can see, if your child is not in youth, they have so much fun. So I would recommend it immensely. When Matt first asked me to speak today, I was like, well, this is going to be very different. Because if you've been to LMC, you know that I'm up here doing worship or anything music related. So speaking is very different. But I had a lot of encouragement and a lot of prayer went into speaking by family and friends. And I'm glad that I could do it. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to. So in saying that, I had no idea what to speak on, and I thought, you know what? God knows. So it all goes back onto Him, which I love for me, and the pressure is a lot less when that happens. So in saying that, let's close our eyes and let's pray and commit tonight to God. Hey God, thank you that we can join together, and thank you that we can worship you. Thank you that we can learn more about you and be encouraged to seek you more each and every day. May your words be my words tonight, God, and may you have your way in everything we do. In your name, amen. So the week that I was asked to do a message, we had our encounter night at our worship rehearsal, and I took this opportunity to speak with God and to just see what He wanted to share tonight. And I felt that God wanted to encourage us this evening that we have a choice, or that you have a choice. In Deuteronomy 11:26-27, it says, "See, I am setting before you today blessings and cursings. The blessings if you obey and the commands of the Lord your God that I have given to you today." So you may think, duh, Abby, of course I have a choice. I know this. But I want to unpack it a bit more tonight and see what we can get out of that. So I don't know about you guys, but in life it gets busy and it gets crazy, and I know I can get caught up in that often. And sometimes decisions are made for me before I even realize that I have an opportunity to make a decision. My mother often tells me many things she tells me, but one of the main things she tells me is to avoid making decisions in haste, and when in doubt, don't. When unpacking this, my first thought that came to mind was, one, be intentional about the decisions that you're making. Two, how can I be influenced? And three, how can we choose the amount of influence that affects our decisions? Just like us, people in Bible times were not immune to making decisions, nor were they immune to the human stresses that we face. They just looked slightly different. Even King Solomon still made some questionable decisions. In 1 Kings 4:29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashores. Despite this, not all Solomon's choices reflected this wisdom that he had. He married pagan women, and in Deuteronomy 17:14-20, it tells us of how he was self-indulgent, had many wives and different intimate partners, also built altars for his wives to worship their pagan gods. And you can see below where we will look at Solomon's son and how that may have affected his lineage and how the following generations were also affected. So we're going to turn to 1 Kings 12:8, where it says Solomon's son, Rehoboam, rejected the advice of the elders that the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. Then it goes on in verse 13 to say, "The king answered the people harshly, rejecting the advice given to him by the elders." In these verses, we read about Solomon's son Rehoboam, and it tells us how Rehoboam made decisions based on what his childhood friends advised him rather than what the nation's elders had advised. Rehoboam was a son of Solomon who was known for his wisdom, as well as some of the questionable decisions that he had made. Being the son of Solomon, a man blessed with God's wisdom, you'd think he would have learned like a thing or two about making wise choices and seeking wise counsel. But one takeaway from Rehoboam's life is that it's important to surround ourselves with people that are like-minded, that will positively influence our lives and potentially the decisions that we make. Another would be to learn from mistakes that others have made around us. And it can, and sometimes when we see other people's errors, it can help affect our decisions and make sure that we can sometimes prevent making the same choices that they've made in life. Solomon and his son Rehoboam had every reason to make great, wise choices in life. They were equipped, and even Solomon was blessed with wisdom from God. And they still made wrong decisions. Then how much more should we be aware of the decisions we are making and seeking advice from counsel and prayer and wisdom and seeking God's peace when finding an answer for our decisions? Seeking out counsel is very important, but even more so, seeking out counsel from people who will speak openly and honestly towards us, that will give you the answer that maybe you don't want to hear, but maybe you need to hear. Oftentimes, this advice will be from someone who has more wisdom and life experience, like a parent, a church leader, or a family or friend. So we just looked at a few examples of poor decision-making and how these extend beyond the person and how they can have a rippling effect on others' lives and people around them. Let's have a look at some good decisions throughout, and that will be in Genesis. So in Genesis, we read about Noah and his family. So Genesis 6:9 reads, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. He walked faithfully with God, and God recognized the sin in the world and cannot see any more good in people. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupt their ways, except in Noah and his family. So God made a way that Noah and his three sons and their wives could be safe." I've never really stopped to think about this or contemplate this, but Noah and his family were the only people still living by God's commandments, which means that they were living in the world full of sin and surrounding them, but what I can only imagine as people living to gratify their one self's desires and condemning of someone who wasn't living like them. In Genesis 6:13, God said, "I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them on the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out." Although this wasn't posed as a question in Genesis, could you imagine if Noah was just like, I don't really know how to build an ark, or like, it's a really big boat, you know, like it could take a lot of effort. Like, it doesn't seem like God's been like, "You look, you can think about it," but it's more posed as it was going to happen. But Noah chose to continue honoring God and listening to his instructions. Because of this, he saved his whole family and all the animals. When I look at Noah's life, I don't just see the decision that he made that day. I see the decision he made leading up to this one. Noah's daily obedience to God made this decision appear to be as simple as a conversation with God. Obedience is what God requires, and Noah's immediate heart response was, "Yes, Lord." Our daily obedience to spend time with God and spend time in his word helps us to make those daily decisions simply. Noah was a God-fearing and God-loving, God-honoring man long before the flood. He led his family up in the same ways, and because of this past decision, it laid a solid foundation for his decision to build an ark. This is one massive reason why you hear in church so often to read your Bible and to spend time with God. Because when you build our faith in the quiet and in the private times, we're creating a foundation that is strong in wisdom and knowledge. The decisions we are required to make automatically be made with faith and with wisdom and knowledge because of that. So in Deuteronomy 6:18, it says, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you." When we renew our minds daily and dwell on what is right and good and just, then the overflow of those actions should be as following. Our daily journey and the relationship building with God is strong, then this will enable those decision-making to be smooth. In this world, we are told to do what we feels right. We are told to do what is easiest. And If we do what we feel is right, we are putting our human worldly expectations on the situations instead of allowing God's divine outcome to be outworked. Like I once did, I was faced with a decision of what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go, and what I wanted to study. And I know a lot of year 12s are probably heading towards a pointy end and making that decision themselves. And it's overwhelming, and there's a lot of choices. And it was quite overwhelming for me at the time as well. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know what to pick. And finding what to study it was overwhelming. So this decision took a lot of prayer and a lot of research and courses and seeking advice from people who were doing things similar to what I was doing. And it took me about a year and a half to finally settle on something, but I got there in the end, which is always great. So my first year out of school, I took a gap year, and I thought, I'll just suss it out. I'll see what I think of degrees out there, and I'll get some information. And then I studied a year of music performance, because music is a passion of mine. And I thought, well, passions are great to follow, so let's see if I can make it a career. I didn't end up sticking in that field of study, but over that year of study, I was praying about it and seeing how I felt about doing this career, and I didn't feel at peace. I felt uneasy and I felt a little unsettled. And for me, that's a sign that it's not where I should be and it's not where God wants me. Oftentimes, when we seek God for peace in a situation, it can always be a confirmation that it's the right decision. But sometimes we can feel uneasy, and I think that's also a great point to take note of, that it's probably not the right decision. But during my time in this degree, I met amazing people, and I was able to invite a friend along to church. And she actually accepted Jesus into her life when she came to church. And for me, I looked at that situation and I thought, God, if that's the one reason that I was meant to be in this course, then it was a very well spent time. So this is exactly why following where God leads us is always better than when we plan, because he might have a different reason for calling us in a certain direction. In Isaiah 55, 8-9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." And so I finished that year, and I ended up finishing a Bachelor of Health Science, if anyone was wondering. So we have had a look at a few people in the Bible who made both good and bad decisions. But how do we make decisions? How do you make decisions? I encourage you to have a think about decisions that you're potentially about to make or going to make in the future, and have them in the back of your mind. It might be study, it might be university, it might be where to spend money, it might be where to invest time and friendship and relationship, it might be what church to go to. So there's so many decisions we make in life. So when we think about these decisions, take this into consideration. Have you prayed about it? Is your decision based on what you want or on your obedience to God? Who are some of the people that you can seek counsel and wisdom from when making these decisions? Do you get a peace about your decision? I also want to encourage you that decisions that you have made in the past do not determine your future. Only God can do that. Don't allow the decisions you've made to continue to affect you or your behavior if they're negative. You can choose your response to an outcome of a decision. Let's choose to continually accept God's grace, guidance, leading, and every aspect of life, and do all things unto God. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, God, that you lead and guide us every day. I thank you that we have the opportunity to make decisions, Lord. Help us to seek your face and to seek you when making decisions every day. I pray that you give us a peace and a decisiveness when we seek you, Lord, and help us be obedient in everything we do. We thank you for tonight, and we thank you for all your words of wisdom, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Well, I'd like to say how much of an honor it is to be sharing with you all tonight. It's like just awesome. I'll kick it off with a little bit of a story. So just a couple of weeks ago, I went away on a bit of a reset trip up past Mansfield, and we're up in the mountains and it's pretty cold, and I'm with one of our fellow leaders, Rowan. And so it's pretty cold up there, not gonna lie. Temperatures well below zero during the night. And in the morning, our toes getting numb. We need to get a fire going. So we get a fire going. And what do you know? Rowan's like shoving his feet in the fire with his boot here, this one right now. And he's leaving it in a little bit too long. And it starts to melt up. And if the communion team could distribute the elements. and it starts to melt. And before you know it, he's got like a horse hoof. Like he's just like clopping from how much he's broken the shoe. And for me, this shoe is a representation of us. It's a representation that God gave us some. God created us whole, but we engaged in evil and we sinned. And when we sinned, we became broken. And when we became broken, we became separated from God. And communion is when God repairs us. I'm really hoping this is going to work because, like, this is not the right type of glue. I'm going to have to put the mic down. But anyway, I'm going to try and glue this shoe back together. And it's a representation that when God died for us, he put us back together. Oh, thanks, Matt. And so that is a representation for how God repairs us. I'm not holding it together. And Mark 14:22 says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when they had given thanks, and he gave it to their disciples, saying, take this, it is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. My challenge to you today is to really value the grace that God has given us. Ephesians 1:7 says that we only have redemption through God's sacrifice and grace that he has offered us. So in the time we now have, I challenge everyone to spend some time in thankfulness for what God has done through the miracles in your life, and that you can have, that you're in a safe, inviting community, and that we're all together, and like just to remember the incredibly painful sacrifice that God like made for us and to redeem us. So if you want to spend some time thinking about that in some communion, so yeah. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time we can spend in communion with you. Thank you that you repaired what was broken within us when you redeemed yourself on the cross. And I pray that we would be able to remember the grace that you gave us. Amen.